This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everyone? We're back with another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. I hinted at it in the last podcast. We are going to talk recruiting today with our recruiting insider, Gabby Urrutia. Lots of news. It's been coming in fast, Gabby, here in the last week or two. Seems like June is going to be a big month when things start opening up around the country, hopefully. From a recruiting standpoint, with the NCAA dead period being lifted, again, hopefully, not sure it's officially been done yet at this point, but the expectation is June 1st, everything should start getting back to normal from a recruiting standpoint in terms of visits and all that good stuff. But before we jump into all the names everyone needs to know and what's going on right now for June, Gabby, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good. It's always great to be back on the pod with you, David. I know it's a whole new era. How's it been going for you? Like, you know, you kind of took over Through the Smoke.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's been fun, man. I feel like Chris and I have had really good conversations about, you know, what's going on with the team. Always appreciate his insight, his expertise. And yeah, I mean, really, from my perspective, the biggest change has been the editing side of things, right? Yeah. Andrew, when he was hosting the podcast, he handled all the editing, the uploading to, you know, the host and all that good stuff. So I've had to learn how to do that. But I think so far, so good. Again, stick with us because, you know, it's still a learning process here we're going through. But I feel like we are hitting our stride, whether, you know, it's me and Chris or me and you or the three of us on at the same time together. So I've been encouraged. I understand, you know, people are going to miss Andrew. He definitely did a good job running the podcast and on the site as well. But things change. And, you know, hopefully people will still stick with Through the Smoke because I feel like we'll still entertain, still give our listeners plenty of scoop. So let's get into that, Gabby. Where do you want to start? How about you know, some official visits are starting to be set up, right, for the month of June. I'll just let you take it wherever you want to take it now. Who do you want to jump into now with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could start off with the first guy Miami's going to get on campus for an official visit, and that's Malik Ogbo out of Washington State. I mean, he's the only guy at this point that has set up an official visit for that first weekend, June 4th through June 6th. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this offensive line class shapes up. And, you know, that's a name that's kind of, that might be like, you know, freshly, I feel like it kind of caught Miami fans maybe off guard to see him book an official visit. You know, he's not a name that maybe a lot of people were super aware of. You know, I had really heard his name for the first time, you know, just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I was in Dallas actually the same time he was in Dallas, and you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to him because he was at a different event. But you know, just talking to some of the guys that are familiar with him, you know, in the area and stuff, just because you know Texas is after him as well. I got the sense that you know this is a really talented kid, and you know, him setting up an official visit, I think, is a pretty big deal, especially coming from Washington State. You know, like literally pulled. Like I was talking to him, I was like, listen, man, like, I get it, but like, you know, literally could not be further, like top left corner of the country to like bottom right corner of the country. Like, so I think that's going to be I think that's definitely an interesting name to continue to monitor. It does sound like he's going to leave the region, just talking to some people that are kind of familiar with the recruitment. So I know a lot of people, like at least on our boards, have been like, oh, like that's not going to happen. Like he's ridiculously far away. But, you know, I think that there's a chance that, you know, he takes the visit and, you know, he's also going to visit LSU. And like, you know, I think he's legitimately looking at schools outside of the region. And, you know, well, I mean, we'll see how that goes. I mean, David, I mean, you've been doing this a lot longer than me. What's your kind of your take of a guy from Washington State, you know, kind of making a cross country trip like this to Miami? How do you kind of see that kind of playing out?
Well, especially in recent years, right? The last decade or so, it's becoming less and less common for Miami to land highly touted players from, you know, outside the Southeast, I would say. You know, Malik, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite, he's a four-star guy just outside of the top 247. So he's rated 268th in the country. The crystal ball predictions, for whatever that's worth, there's one in right now from Brandon Huffman, who is our insider up in that Washington area. He has it set for LSU. So the early temperature seems to think, you know, LSU, which, speaking to your point, indicates he is willing to go away from home for his college experience. You know, and I think it's fair for Miami fans to have that initial reaction of, wow, why would he come all the way across the country to look at Miami? What would you say, you know, what's your feeling on, or what would you say to Miami fans in terms of maybe providing hope that, no, Miami is legitimately in this thing? Is there anything you've picked up on that indicates to you he's seriously looking at Miami besides, you know, this official visit being scheduled?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I was talking to him about Miami and, you know, he seemed really excited just about, you know, everything the staff has talked to him about. Like, he seemed really excited about what Garen Justice is doing at Miami. Like, you know, the way that he develops, like he said, ultimately his goal is to, you know, get to the NFL. And like, he feels like Garen Justice has proven that he can develop guys and, you know, turn them into an NFL player. He said, like, I feel like I can come to Miami and become an NFL player. So ultimately, I just think it's, you know, I think that there's a legitimate interest. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know why he would set up an official visit. You know, with the fact that these kids haven't been able to see many programs, I feel like, you know, these five visits are like just like very, very coveted. You know, like you need to really narrow it down to five schools that you are truly, truly interested in and you could see yourself at. So, you know, the fact that he's kind of doing that is, I think is a good sign. So, I mean, I think it's just one of those, you kind of got to wait and see how it goes, come off the visit. You know, he's going to go to LSU, who again, might be perceived as the favorite right now, and then kind of see how it goes from there. But I don't think Miami's out of it. You know, there's a guy that they're going after pretty hard from my understanding. So we'll see how it goes.
From a prospect standpoint, I like everything he's all about. I kind of pound the table that with this spread offense, I want to see Miami get big offensive linemen that can move people in the run game, right? You're going to have a quarterback in the shotgun 90% of the time, which makes pass protection much, much easier on an offensive line in general. So I want guys that are bigger frame, bigger bodies, strong bodies, and can move people in the run game as well. You know, I haven't seen Malik in person, right? But just his profile listed at 6'6", 320 pounds, you know, probably a similar build to Jalen Rivers, who, you know, probably later in his UM career will be an offensive tackle. But in terms of getting on the field soon, he's going to have to kick inside and play guard. He has the strength to play guard and the athleticism to play tackle later in his college career. I think Malik Agbo is looked at as a tackle in the long term, but maybe, you know, if he wants to get on the field quicker, he'd have to be willing to play guard. So I'm a big fan of the idea of Malik Agbo as a prospect in general. Let's move on to another guy who you want to highlight here, Gabby.
Yeah, I mean, let's shift it over. I mean, Kamari Rogers, I feel like, is a name that, you know, a lot of Miami fans are familiar with at this point. You know, out of Holmes County, Mississippi, you know, top 247 guy. He's been on Miami's campus a couple times already at this point of the process, which is good news. And the fact that Miami's getting one of his five official visits, I think it's the weekend of June 18th, I believe, And yeah, man, you know, Miami's going to go after cornerbacks this cycle. You know, I think that you can see that with the way that they're kind of offering guys. You can kind of see that with the way that they've kind of expanded the board. I feel like in a way that I haven't really seen in the past few years. You know, I feel like they haven't been shy about offering cornerbacks, and, you know, I feel like they kind of casted a wide net, but I feel like Kamari Rogers is one of the guys that they're really zeroing in on as, you know, kind of like hoping that he's a guy that they're kind of able to pull out of state. I was talking to someone very close to him, and, you know, it sounds to me that Miami's in a pretty good spot. You know, he dropped that top six. I believe it was this past week, and maybe it was Saturday. It was Tennessee, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, Ole Miss. I'm trying to think who else is in there. Miami, a few different schools. And, you know, the person I spoke to told me that Miami's probably in the top two or top three of that top group. So, you know, I think Miami's in a really good spot here. I know DeMarcus Van Dyke has been a part of the recruiting process of Kamari Rogers for a few years now. You know, he told me that DeMarcus Van Dyke has been there from day one of Kamari Rogers's, you know, recruitment. So I think that there's a really strong relationship there. Also told me that there's a chance Kamari Rogers gets on campus prior to his official visit. So I think that there's a chance that, you know, he comes one more time before he actually comes on his official visit. So I think Miami's a school that, you know, they're really like the Rogers family in general is just really interested in. I think that school they're really intrigued by. I think Miami has a really good chance here. You know, I think that they're going to go down swinging. You know, you always worry about, you know, Ole Miss kind of swooping in. You know, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, of course, are always going to be a threat. Tennessee's going to get an official visit. So, you know, I think it's a big deal that, you know, Kamari Rogers kind of has found his way to UM already a few times, might come again, and then we'll spend a weekend in Miami for an official visit. So, you know, he's a big fish in this class. He could be a big domino to potentially fall whenever he does make a decision. So, yeah, I think that would be – I think that's big that Miami was able to lock up one of his five officials.
So, yeah, June 18th, looks like he's set to visit Miami. You mentioned it. He's a four-star guy. The composite, the industry-generated average ranking for Kamari, number 63 overall in the country. So he is a big, big, big-time cornerback prospect, of course, from Mississippi. So Ole Miss, you kind of hinted at this, Gabby. Ole Miss kind of perceived as the biggest competition for Miami. Right now, as things stand on the crystal ball, Ole Miss is the team to beat, right? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I just, you know, Ole Miss is, again, just a hometown school. I mean, us being South Florida guys, you know, our goal is always to keep, you know, the local guys home. So, I mean, you got to understand Ole Miss kind of, you know, putting the full court press on Kamari Rogers. Like, this is a guy they don't want to leave. They don't want this guy to leave Mississippi. You know, they have one of the top cornerbacks in the country, right? Right in their backyard. Right. So, you know, it's something that us Miami fans can relate to. And we can also relate to out-of-state teams kind of coming into our backyard and trying to pluck some of the top talent down here. So I think Miami kind of needs to flip the script a little bit and do a little bit of that. Another thing that was actually kind of noteworthy, again, I don't know how much it matters, but, you know, they told me that Kamari Rogers, like, hates the cold. Like, he's always wearing a hoodie. He's always cold. Like, you know, he was on FaceTime with David Cooney during the Hurricanes' first scrimmage a couple weeks ago, and it was sunny, it was beautiful outside, like apparently wasn't a cloud in the sky, and, you know, it was like cloudy and like rainy in Mississippi while they were on FaceTime. So I think that was like a, just a little subtle reminder of what could potentially be if he were to, you know, make his way down to South Florida and play his college football there. It's like, do you want to play in this all year, or do you want to have to deal with the cold and the rain and the wind and stuff like that? So, you know, could potentially be something to factor in. I don't know how much that actually matters, but apparently that is like a thing for him. So
interesting.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's worth pointing out too, right? Manny Diaz made moves with the secondary coaches, you know, to land guys like Kamari Rogers, Travaris Robinson, respected as a big time recruiter throughout his career, DeMarcus Van Dyke, viewed as an up and coming position coach, right? A cornerback coach, and kind of understands the recruiting aspect, that, you know, the importance of it. So, again, Kamari Rogers, top 100 player in the country. It would be very encouraging if this coaching staff was able to pull him at some point during this cycle. Who should we touch on next, Gabby?
Yeah, this guy hasn't set up an official visit anywhere, I don't think, but he's definitely someone I want to talk about a little bit. Kamari Wilson, again, a name Miami fans are really familiar at this point. You know, 5-star safety out of IMG Academy, Fort Pierce native, you know, South Florida guy. You know, he dropped a top 12 or something like that. It's funny right. how on April 1st, he was saying he was going to make a commitment. And then it's just like, bam, a few days later, here's 12 schools that I'm considering. And it's just like, man, like really just putting everyone through the,
yeah,
through it all. But, you know, Steve Wiltfong got a chance to catch up with Kamari Wilson, pretty tough guy to get a hold of. So that's pretty big that Steve was able to, you know, get a grasp of some things. Pretty notable that he mentioned Miami, LSU, and Georgia as like the schools kind of pushing the hardest right now. That kind of lines up with something he said on a YouTube show. Can't remember the name of the YouTube show right now, but he was saying that Miami is like one of his top three schools. You know, a lot of people are saying, we're thinking like, oh, Alabama's in this. I don't even think Alabama's in his top 12. Like, I don't think he even mentioned them, which is pretty weird, I think, because I feel like that was a school a lot of people kind of were linking him to. But, you know, it honestly didn't really come as much as a surprise to me to hear that Miami's been pushing this. I think this is a guy that they've wanted for a long time now. They might only take one safety this cycle. And I mean, who's recruited the safety position better than Miami over the last few years, right? You got right. Avante Williams, who was the composite number two safety in the country. James Williams last cycle, who finished as the number one safety in the country. And, you know, Miami's going after one of the top safeties in the country again in Kamari Wilson. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to him last October when I was in Bradenton for the IMG Academy Northwestern game. And, you know, on his own, he just started raving about T-Rob and South Carolina when he was the defensive coordinator over there. So, you know, one of the first things I thought of when Miami hired Travaris Robinson, it's like, man, this is really big for Kamari Wilson. Because, right. again, Miami was already a school that was making an impression on him, was already a school that, you know, was making moves with him. And then you're bringing in a coach that sounded like probably one of his favorite guys to talk to. You know, again, for him to bring him up on his own, this is a highly touted kid. It's kind of a big deal to me. And so I think that's a big, big move for Miami. And I feel better about Kamari Wilson today. Not that he's going to make a commitment anytime soon. I'm sure he's probably going to, you know, take this down to the wire, potentially an early signing sure. day. But, you know, it's I feel like Miami's pretty sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
Yeah, T-Rob, definitely a reason for optimism from a Miami fan perspective. Again, this is why T-Rob was brought in here to win these type of recruiting battles, and we'll see how it goes. Who's next, Gabby?
I mean, we can get into the official visit weekend on June 11th, because it seems like that's gonna be loaded. I don't know if you want to get sure. to that on the other side, though.
Yeah, let's get into the official visit weekend right now, and then we'll take a break and get into the other stuff on the other side. But June 11th, right? Big official visit weekend shaping up for the Hurricanes. Tell us, just run us through the names that we already know that are going to be visiting that weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, start off with, you know, Miami's only commit, that's Ja'Kari Brown. You know, that's obviously a big piece for that, because you're going to have multiple targets on campus. So to have your quarterback commit, the kind of leader of your class on campus for that weekend, is definitely a big deal. And other guys are going to be joining him, 4-star wide receiver Jaden Gibson out of the Orlando area, 3-star wide receiver Quan Lee out of the Gainesville area, 3-star offensive lineman Leighton Nelson out of the Orlando area, Plantation American Heritage 4-star Jacoby Spells. And you got Isaiah Bond out of Georgia. It's going to be there too. Hold on, David. I'm sorry. My bad, man. My dog was barking. So we got Isaiah Bond. Yeah. And then we got a big domino kind of fell in all this. And that's Caden Helms, the 4-star tight end out of Nebraska. So it's going to be a pretty, pretty loaded weekend for Miami that June 11th weekend. And I mean, if I'm Miami, I'm feeling pretty good about that. You're not getting a ton of local targets on campus other than Jacoby Spells, but you do got a lot of guys that Miami's kind of going after that are going to be in Coral Gables the same weekend.
Of those guys that are penciled in, right, to visit that weekend, obviously Ja'Kari Brown already committed. Who would you – it's early, right? But who do you think would be the guy to circle for commit watch, you know, that weekend or maybe in the week after that visit?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to say like those guys that might be committing, that, I mean, I would circle Quan Lee You know, he's a guy that I feel like might be one of the next dominoes to fall. You know, Ja'Quarri Brown's looking for weapons. You know, Quan Lee's a guy that he knows well. He's a guy that he really likes. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if Quan Lee were to pull the trigger on Miami coming off that visit. Another guy that I wouldn't be surprised about would be Leighton Nelson. And, you know, I think he might be one of the guys to kick off the offensive line class. You know, Miami's really the only in-state school that's really pushing for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's close with his mom. You know, I talked to him this week, and, you know, I think Tennessee might have a chance here. And that's just because all those guys are the staffers that were at UCF, and they all made their way up to Tennessee. And that staff at UCF was the first, they're the first people to offer him. And they've kind of kept up with that communication as they moved up to Knoxville. So I think, you know, they could potentially be, you know, a team here, but I just think the fact that Miami's closer to home and, you know, Garen Justice is making him a priority, I think that he could be someone that eventually winds up in this class, maybe not too far long after he takes the visit. He does have Pitt and, again, Tennessee that he's planning to get to, but, you know, I feel good about Miami's chances to beat out those programs. And, you know, he wants to make a decision probably midsummer, probably before senior season. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see Leighton Nelson maybe hop on board too.
We've talked about defensive backs already. Ja'Quarri Spells, I think, is a guy that might be a little underrated, to be honest, right now. I think he's a stud, right? He's planning to visit that weekend as well. Where would you say Miami is right now with him? Because you look at the other schools, you know, viewed as being in the mix right now with Ja'Quarri, and Miami kind of stands out, right? It's kind of schools like Indiana, West Virginia, Syracuse. Should Miami be viewed as the team to beat, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, to me personally, and again, this, like, you know, he hasn't really flat out said, hey, yeah, Miami's a favorite. But I mean, just like what you're saying, David, like, you're looking at who Miami's competing against, and it's West Virginia, it's Syracuse, it's Indiana. And it's like, if you have a kid from Broward County and you're all in for him and you're pushing for him and your competition is, again, that's not a knock on West Virginia. You know, West Virginia does a great job recruiting South Florida. They always have. Sure. But, you know, Miami shouldn't. I don't think Miami should come close to losing a recruiting battle if they're going toe-to-toe with West Virginia or going toe-to-toe with Syracuse or going toe-to-toe with Indiana. Again, those are all good programs. Indiana is coming off a big year. I like Neil Brown. I like what they're doing. I know Nick Monroe at Syracuse does a really good job in South Florida. But, you know, I just feel like this is just Miami's kind of battle to lose. You know, Ja'Quarri Spells is one of the local guys that's, you know, has already made it known. He might be the only local, like, South Florida guy that has, like, announced that he's taking an official visit to Miami to this point. And so that kind of tells me that he might be wanting to make a decision sooner rather than later. And so, you know, I would put Miami as the favorite there at this point. That's why my crystal ball's on Miami. I have no intention of moving it unless something drastically changes. And so, yeah, I think Miami should be probably viewed as the favorite there, which is a big deal. It's a big deal because, like you said, David, this is an underrated guy. Like, there's a guy that is a converted wide receiver, did a really good job as a junior for an American Heritage team that won a state championship, like, convincingly won a state championship. Like, I don't know how much competition they really had outside of Miami Northwestern. You know, that plays at a really good program, is coached by Patrick Surtain, who's, you know, one of the best, at least Dolphins cornerbacks. You know, he's just plays it in a really good program. I think that this would be a really good get for Miami. And I'm honestly surprised more schools aren't involved. Like, I saw him at the Under Armour Miami camp and I'm like, man, like, this kid looks like a cornerback. You know, this kid looks like a type of cornerback that kind of works in today's college football game.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely surprised more schools aren't involved. And so I think it would be a big get for Miami.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that tests well, right? In the 40, yeah. I think he ran, I don't know if Under Armour officially releases their numbers from their camps, but he ran the fastest 40 time at that camp, somewhere in the 4.55 range. He's gone under 11 seconds in the 100 meters. And he's kind of a thicker build corner, right? He's not one of these skinny, lanky corners that's going to need a year or two in the college program to develop his body. So someone I respect, I forget who told me this, compared him to Xavier Rhodes at the same stage, because, you know, Xavier, similar profile in terms of he played wide receiver early on in his high school career, kind of a thicker build and also very athletic. I can definitely see that comparison. Spells might be an inch or two shorter than Xavier, but you know, that I think that's a strong comp, because I remember Xavier back in the day, he was a beast for Miami New Orleans. So that's a very strong comp. Anyone else to touch on from this June 11th official visit weekend, or should we take a break and get into more on the other side?
Yeah, no, I mean, we could talk about Caden Helms real quick. I mean, I had a conversation with him yesterday. You know, it sounds like Miami is in a pretty good spot here. I think Oklahoma might be the team to watch, but, you know, I think this is an intriguing pass catcher that it sounds like multiple Miami staffers are all in on. He had a lot of good things to say about Stephen Field. You know, a lot of good things to say about Miami's tradition at tight end. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. You got a lot of programs pushing, but, you know, I feel like Miami, you know, it's kind of zeroing in on him as their potential tight end target for this cycle. And I think that could be a pretty big deal.
Definitely. All right. So let's take a break here, and we will, on the other side, get into maybe what's looking like a plan Miami has in the month of June for the local recruits.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we're back, Gabby. And you wrote it on the site on Thursday on InsideTheU.com, a VIP article. You know, again, Gabby is churning out content every single day. So if you love this recruiting stuff and you need to scratch that itch every day, Gabby is there for you every day, InsideTheU.com. You know, I think if you subscribe, you definitely get your money's worth. But anyways, tell us what you kind of uncovered. You know, early June, it looks like there's going to be a plan to get some recruits on campus, you know, with primarily an emphasis on local recruits. Tell us what you know.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, like what we were kind of touching on earlier, it sounds like the dead period is at this point, it's sounding like it's going to be lifted on June 1st. That's the conclusion of May. So Miami's planning like a cookout on June 1st, the first day that they could, I guess, host recruits on campus and, you know, meet with them face to face. So they're planning like a cookout for, you know, local talent, you know, in-state guys. And, you know, it just sounds like it's just going to be a way to just kind of get everyone together, get a bunch of guys together and, you know, just kind of hang out and just kind of kick it. It's on I believe June 1st is a Tuesday, you know? So, you know, I don't know. It's not going to be super football related. It's just going to be more of just
Sure.
like a, hey, let's just come hang out. Let's talk it up. Let's, you know, maybe an opportunity for Miami to size up some of the guys and just kind of see who's who at this point, because you know Manny Diaz did get a chance to see some of those guys in person at the Under Armour
That's
Miami
right.
camp, but not everybody. So I think it'll be a good chance for you know the rest of the staff and you know some of those guys to just get a look at just kind of look at these guys, you know, eye to eye too, and just you know kind of remind them of what it's like to kind of be home. And you know I feel like you know Tavares Robinson has been saying this too. You know he wants to show off Miami's campus to these guys. Like I know you wrote an article about what he was saying during his availability, David, about like you know how he wants to show these guys what the University of Miami campus is like. So I think it's just a chance for those guys to also meet, you know, Tavares Robinson in person and meet Jess Simpson, especially with all these loaded defensive linemen, you know, see DeMarcus Van Dyke again and all these guys and just kind of get a chance to maybe just be refreshed with what the campus has to offer and, you know, what it's like to just be able to drive down the street and, you know, kind of kick it with, you know, this Miami staff that's, you know, working hard to kind of keep a lot of these guys home. So I think it'll be a great opportunity for the university and for some of these guys to just, you know, get a better look at Miami again, you know, after all this time that they've kind of been away, you
Right.
know.
Yeah. I mean, you got a running list up on the website. We won't name every single guy on that list of guys you've confirmed that plan on being there June 1st. But I will say, I think we should talk about a particular position group of guys that you've confirmed will be there, and that's linebacker, right? You got
Yeah.
Wesley Bissaint, top 247 linebacker out of Miami Central. Four-star DeMario Tolan out of the Orlando area. Four-star Travius Trey Lathan, and three-star Omar Graham Jr. So, you know, I think essentially that's kind of Miami's linebacker recruiting board, right? So it's a big deal. They're going to be getting, you know, at this point, it looks like all four of those guys are planning on being there June 1st.
And that's a big deal, you know. Like, I feel like Miami, the linebacker position is a position that they feel like they could maybe recruit better. You know, I feel like we kind of saw like some holes, especially in 2020 at the position. And you know, I just think depth is needed. I think they just need to get longer, need to get faster. And I feel like you know, you're getting a lot of really talented guys out there. You know, Wesley Bissaint, you know, probably one of the top defensive targets on the board, period. You know, a guy to Miami Central, top target at the position for a lot of guys. And, you know, just to get him on campus, even if it's not for an official visit, but just to kind of get him on campus that first day, I think is a big deal. You know, so I think it's going to be really, really big for those guys. You know, Travius Lathan's a guy that, you know, again, I really like. I think he shows that he can cover. I think he shows that he can move around really well. Another guy that used to play wide receiver, was playing wide receiver as a junior at Gulliver Prep. Again, a guy that's right down the road. You know, Gulliver Prep is like less than
Yeah.
like 2 miles south of the University of Miami's campus. And, you know, again, just a guy that can kind of pop in and just kind of come around whenever he likes. So, again, I just think that this is the advantage of just, you know, being at Miami, just being able to get guys like that to speak, hey, man, just make a right on US One when you come out of your neighborhood and just show up on campus, you know? And so I think that's a pretty big deal. And then again, the other guys, Tolan, again, from the Orlando Kissimmee area. Coming down, Omar Graham too is a guy that you know just spent some time at Florida State. Again, Tolan actually walked around Miami earlier this year before the Under Armour camp, so this will be his kind of his him coming back to UM. So I think that's a big deal that they're able to get a lot of these guys that they're going after. And again, just to be able to size them up, like you're probably not going to be able to take all four of these guys. So to just be able to see all four of them together next to each other in person, and I
Right.
think again, I think it'll be a good opportunity for you to kind of figure out, you know, kind of even a little bit further about what you want to kind of do at the position there. So I think that's a big deal that all four of those guys will be there at the same time. And I'm sure much more names are going to be coming through. You know, we're still probably closer to 2 months away from this actually happening. So yeah, It should end up being a really big day for Miami.
Yeah, and one of the cliches that, you know, stands the test of time when it comes to recruiting, right? Follow the visits. And, you know, it's a cliche because it's true. Follow the visits. So the more that Miami can get these type of guys on campus, you would think it's a good sign for where Miami stands in terms of landing them. I want to get into some guys in the Louisiana area. Gabby, Jordan Allen, a defensive back. I think I view him more as like a nickel, right? Mm-hmm. I think I've seen him listed as a corner, as a safety. I think he's more of a nickel. And then wide receiver Shaz Preston. I believe, are both those guys four-star guys, or is Shaz the only four-star guy of the two? I think Jordan Allen might be a three-star. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so Jordan Allen is a three-star, and then Shaz Preston is a four-star, top 247 guy.
What do we need to know about those two guys and kind of where Miami stands? Does Miami have a chance to maybe get them on campus at some point this summer, you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Miami has a chance to get both those guys on campus. You know, Jordan Allen is a guy that, you know, even before Miami offered him, like, I knew that he was a guy that they liked, that they were evaluating and all that stuff. And, you know, he's always been interested in Miami. You know, Miami's always been one of those schools that he's kind of wanted, like, he really, really wanted that Miami offer. And, you know, since he got it, you know, he's been in communication with DeMarcus Van Dyke, Travaris Robinson, all those guys. And, you know, he told me at some point last month, he was like, I'm talking to those guys every day. And, you know, Miami made his, you know, top six, which kind of lines up, puts them in line to kind of potentially get an official visit from Jordan Allen. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys that ends up on campus officially this summer. You know, so I would definitely watch out for that. And yeah, I see him as like a nickel type guy. I watched him play in Battle Miami, and you can kind of tell he has that. He's kind of like, he kind of has like that versatility to, like, you know, maybe be a safety, maybe be a nickel, like, who kind of knows? Like, I feel like he may be one of those like tweener guys. Right. So I think that he's an interesting prospect for sure. And I think Miami's in a pretty good position with him. Shaz Preston, it doesn't sound like Miami's going to get an official from him. And, you know, that might sound discouraging, but I was actually talking to his dad yesterday. So I guess it would have been Thursday. Just about, you know, where Miami kind of stands with all this. You know, he's got Alabama, USC, LSU, Texas, Mississippi State, you know, other schools that are pushing and all that. And his dad was just telling me, he's like, look, we really like Miami. He was on the phone with David Cooney and Manny Diaz this week. You know, this is a guy that's, you know, they're talking with him. They're making a play for Shaz Preston. But he told me, he's like, he's already seen Miami twice, you know. And, you know, again, just kind of what I was alluding to earlier, these five official visits are very important because you need to be able to go see places that you've never seen before. And again, yeah, you follow the visits. Is it good news for Miami that, you know, they're not going to get an official visit, or it's sounding like they're not going to get an official visit? Yeah, you know, that's probably not ideal. But, you know, he did say that they're going to be in the Tampa area this summer. And he said that there's a chance that they drive down to Miami and, you know, do one of those unofficial things at some point, you know. So that would be the third time that Shaz Preston has been on Miami's campus. Some of these schools he hasn't been to at all. So, you know, I think Miami's still kind of a player in here. You know, when it comes to likelihood of him landing in the class, I'll probably put him behind a Quan Lee, behind a Jaden Gibson, behind some of those guys. But again, you never know. But I think it's going to be tough to kind of pull him out of LSU. I think Mississippi State is a sleeper here just because his older brother is he's a starting defensive back under Mike Leach. So, you know, but, you know, I think they're going to really take in all the process and, you know, really like value all the visits that he takes. And then, you know, Shaz said he wants to make a decision prior to his senior year. So, you know, if he doesn't make his way back to Miami, I'm not too sure how that's going to go for them. But, you know, I know that this is a guy that they're chipping away at and that they're still staying in constant communication with. So, you know, you never know how things could play out. You know, plans change all the time. And, you know, he could potentially pivot and decide, hey, you know what, I do want to spend a weekend in Coral Gables. So I would definitely watch out for that and just, you know, kind of continue to monitor it.
What sense do you have, Gabby, that, you know, Miami's recruiting staff, Miami's coaches kind of have their board, you know, it's all coming together now? Because I think, you know, we've talked about how with this, the weirdness of this 2020, to cycle due to COVID and all that stuff. It's been hard to evaluate guys. It's been hard to get eyes on guys, all that. So do you feel like things are kind of piecing together more now and Miami kind of knows what direction they want to go in terms of players they want to target at each position?
Yeah, I definitely think they have a better sense of it. I mean, you look at a few other guys that have even set officials, like Nick Cole is another guy out of Georgia that set an official visit. You know, again, just expanding the defensive backboard, but kind of still having that identity of these are the guys that we really, really want. I do feel like they have a better sense of just like what they want to do with certain spots, with certain positions. Again, like, I think we know what the cornerback board kind of looks like. We know who they like at most positions. I feel like we have a pretty good sense of the guys that they're after. So yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, they have a pretty good idea of that. I think the wild cards are maybe offensive line because, you know, there's not a lot of local guys. Like Miami signed 3 South Florida guys on the offensive line this last cycle. You're not going to get that in 2021. You know, you're looking at a Leighton Nelson, who's a, you know, tackle prospect. And then again, look, they're reaching out to Malik Agbo from Washington State. You know, you're seeing what they're doing in Texas, you know, with a bunch of offers out there. And, you know, so I think the offensive line is still kind of, you know, kind of wait and see mode. Like, let's see how the board continues to expand. Garen Justice offered like 3 or 4 guys over the past week. So I think they're still maybe trying to figure it out there. And then defensive line, again, like, you know, it's a loaded group down here. But, you know, how many of those guys are, you know, you guys, are you really going to be able to get? And how many of those guys does Miami kind of feel like they're in prime position for with, you know, a lot of out-of-state big-time programs kind of trying to make, like, find their footing down here and, you know, make their way down here for some of those guys. So I think those two positions are still kind of like, let's see. But I feel good about where they're at wide receiver, tight end, you know, obviously quarterback with Ja'Kari and, you know, especially the defensive backfield and then linebacker, of course. I feel like they kind of know what they want there.
Overall, how do you feel about kind of the state of where things are with Miami's recruiting right now? Because they are taking a slow approach, right? Yeah. Only having one commit, you know, in April is weird from a Miami perspective. What do you make of it? Are you okay with this slow approach? Do you feel like we'll know more at the end of June, kind of how this class is going to shape up?
Yeah, I'm not really hitting the panic button yet. And, you know, it's weird because, like, you know, I've been following Miami my whole life and I've never seen anything like this before where Miami has one commit in April. So, you know, it's different for sure. I think it's going to be one of those things we're going to look back and just kind of see how it ends up working out that with, you know, the approach that they're kind of taking. But, you know, I'm definitely waiting to see how these June official visits go. You know, I think that the ball could potentially get rolling and get rolling quickly once some of these official visits start happening. Like, again, like I feel good about, you know, what would happen with Ja'Kari Spells after an official visit. I feel good about Leighton Nelson, Quan Lee, some of those guys with official visits and stuff. You know, even Jaden Gibson, you know, I feel like, you know, Miami, Florida are going to be, that's going to be a real battle there. Like, can Miami potentially win that out? You know, I think that I'm not sure how long he's going to take to make a decision with, you know, those two schools really battling out. I think Baylor's in there as well. But, you know, so I think things could potentially get rolling, but I'm probably not going to hit the panic button. Like, if the month of June finishes and Miami has one commit, it's still Ja'Kari Brown, I might start being like, okay, like, this is pretty troublesome. Like, they got to start making some moves. But until then, like until these official visits start happening, until things start opening up and kids are really starting to see places, I'm really not too worried about it. I kind of trust that the staff kind of knows what's going on. And, you know, you look at the reputation and what some of these guys have done in the past, you know, right. I truly believe they're going to be able to close on a lot of these guys. And, you know, with a guy like Ja'Kari kind of being a part of that, I think that could sometimes be a bigger deal than, you know, some of the staff recruiting. Like, you know, sometimes a player like Ja'Kari Brown could be a better recruiter than, you know, some of the guys that are on staff. So I think that, you know, him being there and a part of it, I don't think it'll be down like this for too much longer, but I think we just got to stay patient and kind of let this process play out. Cause this is a cycle unlike any other. I know Manny Diaz, he said in his press conference, like, you know, this class is unlike any other class. So I think that you just got to kind of, you know, take a deep breath and just kind of just sit back and just kind of let them work and let the calendar continue to flip through and just kind of see what happens.
And I'll say this, you know, yes, Miami only has one commitment right now, But I do think that was a big domino.
Getting
that quarterback is a big, big, big deal. I'd rather be in this situation that Miami's in right now in this 2022 cycle in April than they were it, you know, compared to the situation they were in last year at this time, where they were hoping and praying they could flip a quarterback, and it ended up happening. But what happens if you're unable to flip that quarterback, you know? So being able to get that big time quarterback secured in your class is a big deal. You know, quarterback to me is, it, you know, heavily weights how good your class ends up being. If you sign a top 10 class and it doesn't include a big time quarterback, I don't really know how good that class really is. But if you sign a top 15 class and it has a big time quarterback, to me, I'd rather have that type of class. So I think getting Jakari in the boat, like you said, he's going to help recruit. It also just looks good, man. Everyone knows in modern football how important the quarterback position is. And so you have that guy in your class. Everyone in the recruiting cycle knows, okay, this is going to be the guy at Miami. Do I want to join Miami? And that's for them to decide. So things are going slow, but I think it's purposeful. I think there is reason to it. And we'll see how things do look at the end of June. I will say this, you know, in terms of Paradise Camp, we'll see. I do think it, you know, they're eyeing maybe that last weekend in June. I'm not reporting that or anything, but I think there is a chance some sort of Paradise Camp type thing might happen at the end of June. So we'll see if that all gets put together. There's still plenty of time between now and the end of June. And again, like, who knows if the NCAA will end up opening things up like it is expected. So Miami would like to have a Paradise Camp this year. We will see if it all comes together. Is there anything else you want to touch on here, Gabby, before we get out of here?
No, I think we're good, man. You knocked it out of the park with the little Paradise stuff. We'll see what happens there. I'm definitely interested to see. I have never been to Paradise before. I've never attended a Paradise Camp before. So I would definitely be super, super excited about that.
Are you ready for June? Because it sounds like June is going to be crazy for you.
Oh, yeah. I am. My June is just going to be, I'm just going to be holed up in this room. I have internet at my house now, which is crazy because I haven't had internet here for like 2 months. So I am going to be holed up in my room with, I'm going to make my dad make me some cafecito, like a whole like gallon of Cuban coffee. And I'm just going to be pounding through it. I'm going to be ready to go.
Let's go. So yeah. Lots of stuff happening in recruiting in terms of planning towards the summer. Gabby's got it all covered on InsideTheU.com. I highly recommend, if you're into this stuff, jump in with the subscription here to InsideTheU.com. We always appreciate it. That's kind of a way of supporting the podcast if you enjoy the podcast. So let's get out of here, Gabby. Thanks for the updates. We will definitely do more of this as recruiting news continues to turn up. Thanks, Gabby.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me, man.
Take care, man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.